سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Imagine getting the good news of having your a child or your first child. For those who are married and have children, you have experienced this already. And those who are not, inshallah, one day you will experience this joy. Imagine getting the news that your family is expecting a new addition, and you are celebrating and you are happy and you're sharing sweets and giving the good news to your loved ones. And mashallah, the child is born. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to give you and gift you a child who is not as you expected. Who is formed in a way that you are not expecting. In many cases, many times, of course, this leads to great anxiety and great worry on the part of parents. But subhanAllah, in my experience, I have seen that the families who have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with children who have challenges, who have different abilities, or who have disabilities, are blessed in many ways that cannot be imagined in terms of the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in their efforts, in their time, in their wealth, and the things that they're able to do, mashallah. I have right now, on the top of my head, at least two examples locally in our community of people like that who have done tremendous work for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they and their families, even while caring for a child with special needs. I think many people are probably aware by now of the young man who pretty much stole the show in the opening ceremony of the FIFA World Cup in Qatar. Either you saw it or you've heard about it probably. His name is Ghanim Al-Muftah. And he was born with caudal regression syndrome, which is a rare birth defect, characterized by partial or complete fusion of the legs. And for those who watched the ceremony, he was on the stage, you know, almost at ground level, because he doesn't have legs. MashaAllah, this young man has his own business, and he is studying. He's a YouTuber. He has, you know, he plays many sports and very interesting videos, actually, if you see his videos as to how, MashaAllah, he has adapted and how he lives his life. And he's even climbed a mountain as well. And it is said that when he was born in that condition, with that condition, he was actually not given much time to live. That was the opinion of the doctors, that it would be difficult for him to survive. But mashallah, tabarakallah, he has beaten all odds and is living a very active and fulfilling life, mashallah. And if you read about his life, you can't help but notice his positive outlook. The fact that he is filled with positive energy. And this positive energy is fed by the unfaltering influence and support of his parents, who insisted that he lead a normal life beyond the confines of his disability. Right? Parents are the greatest advocates for their children. And they insisted that they were going to put every effort to ensure that he is not limited because of his situation. What also feeds into his positivity and his success, mashallah, is the expert medical care that he receives internationally on an annual basis, support from his community, his society, his government. So all of these things have come together to, mashallah, bring him where he is today. Now we know that not every person with a disability will have all of these things come together for them. But my brothers and sisters, what we need to realize is that we all have a role to play in supporting persons with disabilities, persons with different abilities. And most importantly, with our attitudes, the way we look at such circumstances, the way we respond, the way we deal with individuals with differing abilities. The reality is, my brothers and sisters, that every single one of us is susceptible to becoming or being a person with a disability. If not today, then at some point in our lives, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and make it easy for us. We don't know what the future holds for us and for our loved ones. May Allah protect us. But we know, experience tells us that as we age and time goes on, it is natural to expect that there will be perhaps circumstances and challenges that we have not faced earlier in our lives that we may have to face as we age. And this is a fact of life. This is from the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa ma sha'Allah, except for the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to keep well and keep protected. Now, when faced with challenges, we take solace in the fact that patience in the face of difficulty and adversity is greatly rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And actually, I was just at West Carleton Secondary School with the students for their Salatul Jum'ah. And one of the things that I mentioned to them, my khutbah to them, was the fact that people of faith tend to be more resilient. It doesn't mean that people of faith don't face challenges. It doesn't mean that, you know, that we don't face struggles. We do, like all human beings. But what our deen, what faith teaches us and gives us is resilience. To deal with challenges and struggles when they come our way. And sometimes I wonder how difficult it must be to operate in this world and face the challenges of life without having faith. Without having a framework that gives us resilience and strength. If a person does not have faith, they don't have a framework to help them cope with challenges the way that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them that strength and that resilience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, as we have heard before, وَلَنَبَلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Be sure that we shall test you with something of fear and hunger, some loss in goods or lives or bodies or the fruits of your toil. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, but give glad tidings to those who persevere with patience. So it is understood, we expect, we don't ask for it, we don't hope for it, but we expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may choose to test us in one way or the other. But there are glad tidings for those who are the people of sabr, the people of perseverance and patience. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً, those who when they are afflicted with a calamity, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is not just a phrase to recite when someone passes away, but rather it is a phrase, a dua of sorts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is from the characteristics of the people of sabr, the people of perseverance and patience, that when they are faced with a calamity, with a great struggle or a challenge, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Him is our return. And this phrase itself gives us strength because it reminds us that we are nothing on our own. We belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever Allah sends towards us, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends towards us in terms of challenges and struggles and calamities, it's part of the same journey. We've come from Allah, we're going to Allah, and everything we face and we get in between is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance. And we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And then Allah tells us, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. They are those on whom descend the blessings from Allah and mercy. And they are the ones who receive guidance. They are the ones who are guided. So we find a link here between tests, perseverance and patience, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and receiving His blessings and His mercy. And thus, again, people who are faced with challenges and struggles and calamities, and they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be blessed in immeasurable ways, in tremendous ways. And those blessings may even be linked with the challenges. That if the challenge had not come, and if they had not exerted sabr, then perhaps those blessings and that goodness would not come as well. But the challenge and the struggle and their response to it became a means, or becomes a means, for receiving blessings and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we know, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all, every single one of us, different abilities and different strengths. Some of us have better eyesight than others. You know, some have greater strength than others. Some have more stamina compared to others physically. You know, mentally, some of us may be better in some areas than others. You know, someone's bad at math, but better at writing, and so on, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us all in different ways. So naturally, when we excel and have an advantage over others in some areas, we know that we will also have weaknesses as well. Because no human being is perfect. Every single person is going to have some strengths and also going to have some weaknesses. And if a person thinks they have no weaknesses, they're actually deluded. And they're kidding themselves and they're fooling themselves. So every single person has strengths, every single person has weaknesses. Sometimes these weaknesses can extend a bit beyond or a bit more than we as a society are used to. A little bit more than what the norm is. And therefore, society refers to it as a disability. So for example, many of us have weakened eyesights, you know, you wear glasses or you have contact lenses. But when it reaches a certain point, then it is categorized as legal blindness. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're completely blind and you can't see at all, but there's vision loss beyond a certain point that affects abilities in a greater way, and therefore it is categorized as legal blindness. Thus, a disability can affect us mentally, can affect us physically. These can come at the time of birth. They can come at a young age, sometimes much later in life. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we are having this discussion today because December 3rd is the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, as declared by the UN, by the United Nations in 1982. And there's a wonderful organization that is doing tremendous work within the Muslim community to serve our brothers and sisters with different abilities, with disabilities, called Deen Support Services. And I encourage you to look them up and to offer your support to them. They run a khutbah campaign every year to spread understanding and to educate Muslim community about disability from an Islamic perspective. When we look at disability and persons with disabilities in the Islamic tradition, my brothers and sisters, we notice a few things. So the first one is, like any other challenge, the challenges faced due to illness, due to disabilities, do not go unrewarded. They do not go unrewarded. There is tremendous blessing and tremendous reward associated with illnesses, disabilities, and struggles. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ma yusibu al-muslima min nasabin wala wasabin wala hammin wala huznin wala adhan wala gham hatta shawkati yushakuha illa kaffarallahu biha min khataya. And this hadith, subhanAllah, always amazes me, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whenever a Muslim is afflicted with a hardship, with a sickness, with a sadness, with a worry, a harm, a depression, even the pricking of a thorn. Even the pricking of a thorn. Now you imagine you step on a thorn or a needle. Yes, it hurts, maybe for a few moments. But that's about it. And it's pretty localized. But even that is counted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates their sins because of it. There is forgiveness of sins, even by the pricking of a thorn. So any level of anxiety, worry, pain, suffering, physical or mental, that you go through, any type of difficulty, there is a recompense for that. It is being recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is noticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will find it on the day of resurrection in your book of deeds and its effect, inshallah. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, as we discussed, if you deal with it with patience and perseverance, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance, and you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshaAllah you will have glad tidings and you will receive blessings and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways that you could not imagine. And by the way, all of this also applies to the close relatives of persons with disabilities who care for them. Because it's not always easy. It's not always easy. But again, to be in that situation means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you an opportunity to get rewards and blessings that are not available perhaps to others. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, the manner in which we deal with persons with disabilities. You know, unfortunately, in many cultures, persons with disabilities, different abilities, are shunned, are disregarded, are ignored, or are pushed to the fringes of society. But when we look at the Islamic tradition, we find total acceptance and support for persons with disabilities. We have the example of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, who had a speech impediment, yet it did not bar him from continuing his mission as a prophet. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَحْرُ لَقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, and remove the impediment from my speech so that they may understand what I say. If you pause for a second, if we can ask the brothers to please move forward and fill in all the gaps, perhaps sit as you would sit in salat, inshaAllah, so that we can make sure that all the gaps are filled. جزاكم الله خيرا. جزاكم الله خيرا. We have the example of Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was blind, who was visually impaired. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him in charge of Medina when he was not there. It did not stop him from getting that important responsibility and also the responsibility of giving adhan. We learn about Julaybi radiallahu anhu. Now in society he was, it is said, a virtual outcast due to his disabilities, which are not described in specific terms, but it seems that he was very short, significantly short stature, may have also had some other, you know, physical differences. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took special care of this man, and even arranged marriage for him, even though it was quite difficult for him to get married. And he took part in a battle, so he was participating still, and he fought heroically, and he became a shaheed. He was killed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one noticed that Julaybi was missing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who is missing? They remembered everyone else, but nobody noticed Julaybi. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed, and he mourned his loss, and he said, هَذَا مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْهُ, that he is of me and I am of him. And he said that two times. He is of me and I am of him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed great reverence and affection and closeness to Julaybi radiallahu anhu. We read about Ata ibn Abi Rabah, rahmatullahi alayhi, the famous early Muslim jurist, the hadith transmitter, who was actually the mufti of Mecca at one point in the 7th, 8th centuries. He was known to walk with a limp and was also paralyzed as well. So he had a very real disability, yet that did not stop him from excelling in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being given a very important responsibility. So what do we need to do, my brothers and sisters? A few points. So first of all, let us try to be, you know, inclusive in terms of our thinking, in terms of our attitude, not to look down upon people, and to actively ensure that we are trying to include persons with disabilities and different abilities as much as possible, right? Even little things that may seem little to us, right? Like the entrance to the masjid, like where we put our shoes, so that we leave the pathway open, so that if someone comes with a walker or someone comes, you know, in a wheelchair or has difficulty walking, they're not at risk of tripping. You know, so little things can show our care and concern. Even the design of the masjid. So alhamdulillah, as you know, we are getting close to starting construction of the new masjid building, inshallah, which will be right in front of us here in the land. I know it looks small, but there's plenty of space there, alhamdulillah. And we're ensuring that the access to the building has no steps. So there's no steps going into the building, inshallah. So it'll be direct entry with no steps inside. You go in and it's all straight and flat. So wheelchairs, walkers, strollers, all of those things can, inshallah, go in. People who have difficulty walking, climbing stairs, no issue, inshallah. Everyone can go straight in and directly into the masjid area. And those who need to go upstairs or downstairs, there'll be an elevator available as well, inshallah. So just trying to be mindful and trying to be conscious. You know, ensuring that we teach our children not to shun people. Right. Sometimes it happens subconsciously, you know. So we have to be mindful about these things, and to be a little bit, you know, lenient, to be a little bit understanding. If, let's say, someone comes to the masjid with a child who has a disability, and they're not able to control them, and the child maybe is making noise. Maybe they're autistic. Maybe there's some other challenge. Okay, so be forgiving, be understanding, give people the benefit of the doubt. So they don't feel like they cannot come to the masjid with their child because everyone's going to give them stares and everyone's going to look down upon them. You know, so be understanding, be forgiving, be tolerant, and realize that these are situations and circumstances that people did not ask for, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to them, and they are trying their best to deal with them. And at the very least, we can offer them our support. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them and all of us patience, to support each other. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of those who are struggling in different ways. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all protection and ease in all of our affairs. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll take a couple of minutes to offer sunnah prayers, and then we'll continue, inshallah.